Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 26th of April, recording at, looks like, 8:35 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, first, the quick highlights. As far as stock markets are concerned, we're seeing mostly ranging against that background of short-term oversold conditions. I maintain that the upside scope is strictly limited. In terms of U.S. Treasury bonds, we're seeing some loss of upside momentum at current levels. The rally may well be over. Now, in terms of the U.S. dollar, steady, albeit within what's an overall ranging pattern. Precious metals, this is quite interesting. Despite the dollar being steadier, gold's firm in here today, and platinum is testing the upper side of that long trading range, testing the upper side for the umpteenth time. Okay, what can we say here in a little bit more detail? First, going back to global stock markets, you know my view. I maintain that the excellent technical bull, a two-year run from March 2003, ended last month or thereabouts for various different indices. And you probably saw it coming because for months I'd been saying that my best case scenario was that we would get well into the first quarter before both cyclical and, well, mainly cyclical factors began to weigh on stock markets once again, causing the secular bear on Wall Street, long defined here as a generational long process of rising yields and contracting PE ratios, made itself felt once again. And of course, those cyclical factors that I was referring to were the rise in interest rates that we were seeing, the rise in energy prices didn't help, all that M&A activity, which is a sign of an end game in terms of market cycles. And of course, the first 2 years of a new presidential term, when governments and central banks pay some attention to, well, they put it this way, they tip their hat in the direction of fiscal and monetary responsibility. And that's just enough usually to cause the liquidity that had fueled the earlier rise to contract somewhat, and can cause stock markets to be certainly under pressure. Now, historically, also remember that the second year of a presidential term is the most bearish, and that will be next year. Right now, having said that the rally is over, the best that we can hope for, I believe, is that some indices rally back and perhaps test the year's earlier highs. Don't count on it. We may not see very many of them do that at all. And the ones that have the best chance of doing that are, of course, the ones that have remained reasonably steady relative to the sell-offs that we've seen in some other sectors. Now, in terms of today's action, what was interesting, well, we had a sort of mixed activity in the Asian markets, again reflecting that short-term oversold condition. But the European markets really started off the day very, very weak. And they improved, though, as the day went on, and closed pretty well at their best levels of the day. They were mostly on the downside, but very, very modest declines. And one that I've been shorting in the last couple of days, and shorted again in here today, but unfortunately before the small rally that occurred, was the Swiss SMI. That's the only one that I'm looking at in the among the European indices that actually closed up on the day. I'm looking at the Bloomberg WEI screen for that, which shows eight of the European market indices. Now, say Wall Street came in down and moved to the positive side, and that helped those European markets to pair those gains really quite sharply. However, I think they're going to be under pressure here again tomorrow, because Wall Street, after that usual rally that we get just before 8:30, is selling off once again and is close to the lows of the day, down 71 on the Dow, 7 on the S&P, and nearly 18 points on the NASDAQ Composite Index. I also shorted a little bit more of the NASDAQ futures and timed that a little better here today, as you'll see from the results, but that's down currently 12 and a half at 14.29. It looks to me like we'll get Wall Street, say, closing closer to the lower side of the day's range. Now, and in terms of an overall strategy, I think I've emphasized that in recent months that this has not been a time for buying, and it has really been a time for reducing exposure and also for establishing some hedge short positions. Now, I've done that pretty persistently. Well, I did a bit of that before going on to that short holiday, from which I returned early and had to go straight into hospital with the burst appendix. And so I missed a little bit of the action while I was in hospital. But since I got out last Wednesday, I mean, I've been adding to my stock market short positions cautiously, but pretty much on a daily basis. And I'm not through by any means. And what I didn't want to do is to get way overextended initially. I never want to be in that type of position. In other words, vulnerable to a large drawdown losses. That's a drawdown, a euphemism for losses. If I'm wrong, so I started let some of the positions develop, and then placed in the money stops, which I've done on my opening NASDAQ positions, which were 2/3 of it. I increased that NASDAQ short position by a third here today. I haven't increased my UK FTSE position, but I may well do so. But the original stake is now protected with an in-the-money stop. So that gives me the freedom to leverage up. And of course, I'm only going to leverage up if I think that the technical conditions actually justify such a move. And I believe that they still do. Now, with the MIB, that's the Italian stock market index, I have not placed those stops. My overall position after today's bounce is modestly in profit there, and that's one of my bigger short positions overall. But I really do need to see that crack again on the downside, and then I will place an in-the-money stop and consider shorting either more of that to market or any of the others that are, as far as I'm concerned, begging to be shorted, and that includes certainly the European and North American indices. So that's pretty much my strategy. Now, if I'm too pessimistic, and I'm not saying that as a hedge, I don't think I am, but you know, you got to keep your feet on the ground in this business. If I am too pessimistic, then we will see markets rally upwards. Some of my short positions will be stopped out, albeit at much reduced profits. That would create some open position losses on some of the positions that are not yet protected with stops, but it would certainly reduce my hedge short exposure, and it might well provide the opportunity for me to lighten a few more longs. But I'm not really expecting that to happen. Thus, I have been keen to, say, add to my short positions in stock markets overall. Okay, the U.S. Treasury bonds, watching that closely, I may go in and replace that 1/5 short position that I had taken the baby steps profit, where I had a delayed report on that, having been away. Now, in terms of the currencies, I've got 1/3 of my U.S. dollar long against the yen position. Remember, I took profits on that. I think it was last week, and I opened at a slightly more advantageous level. I opened 1/3 of that position. I may increase that, but I'm less interested in trading the currencies, and I would only do that really, or I would do that primarily to hedge my precious metal positions, mainly my silver position, if I felt that the technical evidence suggested that we were going to get a reasonably good technical rally in the dollar, rather than what's primarily a ranging pattern overall. Now, I mentioned that gold is interesting. It's trading after hours here at 437.19. That's up 249, but against the background of a firmer dollar. I'm in here today. There's no doubt that some money, and I would suspect some hedge fund money, has been moving quietly into gold bullion. And I think the hedge funds are under a fair amount of pressure here right now. Where are they actually going to make some money? Well, short stock markets is one area, but a lot of those hedge funds are not allowed to do that. Hedge funds, a bit of a misnomer here these days. Certainly, I think gold is attracting some of that money. Now, also, what's quite interesting, I mentioned that platinum, I've got a long position there, testing the upper side of that broad trading range for the umpteenth time. Now, it's fallen back on each occasion, but in recent months, I haven't got that chart right under my nose at the moment, but I can pretty well recall in recent months, following the falls back from the higher side of the range, which is up in that sort of 880 to 890 region, the lows have been rising, showing demand coming at a slightly higher level. And there is a small backwardation in there between the July and I think it's the October contract for platinum. It's about $3 or $4, which is not big, but nevertheless does indicate something of a shortage here. I'm half tempted to reduce exposure in that, but I'll have one more look at this level, particularly with the backwardation in play. Palladium, it's very quiet here, just ranging sideways, and what looks like an overall consolidation in that 2001 level. But if the dollar rallies, all bets are off on the upside in terms of these precious metals in the short term. Silver pretty much unchanged in here today. I've got to roll forward a May position tomorrow. One of my spread bet positions. Now, what else to mention to you here? The industrial metals, they are again pretty much range bound here, a little bit vulnerable to dollar rallies. We saw copper back off a bit in here today, but the backwardation is still very, very strong. I've got a modest position there and would be quite happy to see copper just range sideways because the backwardation is working in my favor every day. I think my expiry is somewhere in the middle of, I think it's in the middle of May or late May, around the 20th of May. And ditto a lead position, just ranging sideways, but again that backwardation working in my favor. But I'm uneasy having these positions. I think that the overall scope for, or at least talk of, I guess, a further global economic slowdown, that does not augur well for the industrial metals. So really, I'm not contemplating increasing exposure in the metals sector. I'm contemplating reducing it somewhat, although I still like it very, very much on a long-term secular basis. The supply and elasticity theme will be with us for a very, very long time. But in the meantime, though, I think I want to play these stock markets and reduce exposure generally elsewhere. Play these stock markets on the downside. That's what I'm looking for. And now we're just 10 minutes to go on Wall Street. We are near the lows of the day, down 78, 8.5 on the S&P and 19 on the NASDAQ composite. All the best.